Welcome to the Utica Phoenix Deep Dive, and a big thank you to David Laguerre for always making these things happen, you know, getting them produced.
Of course.
So today we are going to be taking a deep dive into the hands-off protests,
right,
which took place on April 5th, 2025. And this is significant because we saw people all across the country and really even in some parts of Europe taking to the streets.
Yeah. And it seems like a lot of different issues kind of bubbling up to the surface all at once.
Yeah. And in order to kind of get to the bottom of this, we have quite a few sources that we're going to be looking at today. We have articles from CBS News, Newsweek, Al Jazeera, Forbes, Spectrum News, The Washingtonian, and AP News.
Okay.
And then we also have some things from Reddit, which is always interesting, you know, to kind of see what people are saying on the ground. And then also some information from the Third Act organization.
That was good.
So our mission today is to really unpack what these protests were about, who was involved, where these protests took place, and what were some of the key concerns that people had, so that you listening can really get a clearer and more concise understanding of this widespread movement.
Yeah.
So let's jump right in.
Okay.
And when we think about the hands-off protests, what were some of the core grievances that people had that drove them to, you know, get out in the streets and protest?
Yeah. So the core of these protests, and what we see in a lot of these sources, centers on actions by the Trump administration and Elon Musk.
Okay.
And specifically Elon Musk heading up the Department of Government Efficiency.
DOGE?
Yeah, DOGE is what everyone calls it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he played a key role in reducing the size of the government to the tune of over 200,000 federal jobs, according to Al Jazeera.
Wow, 200,000.
Yeah.
It's a huge number.
Yeah, it's a lot of federal jobs being eliminated.
So obviously jobs were a big concern, but it wasn't just job losses, right? There were a lot of other concerns that were kind of fueling these protests.
Definitely, yeah. A lot of interconnected issues that seemed to really worry people.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big ones was the closure of local Social Security Administration offices.
Oh, wow.
So making it more difficult for people to access important services.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were also concerns about rollbacks of protections for transgender people, cuts to federal funding for health programs, and also the administration's policies on deporting immigrants.
Right. So it sounds like a lot of these worries kind of spanned across a lot of different communities.
Yeah.
And, you know, people were feeling like maybe these policies were helping some groups while hurting others.
Yeah, that's a theme we see in a lot of these reports, right? This idea that billionaires, these powerful individuals, or as some were calling them, oligarchs, meaning very wealthy people with a lot of political influence, they were benefiting from these actions while the working class was being harmed.
Right. And I think, you know, it's interesting because we see this quote from Paul Osadebe, who was at the protest in D.C., and he said that these powerful people don't value anything other than profit and power.
Yeah, that really gets to the heart of it.
Yeah. And then in Newsweek, they talk about the hands-off mission statement.
Right.
And in the mission statement, they really focus on a lot of these economic worries.
Yeah. They express a lot of fear that Social Security and Medicare, you know, which are these huge programs that a lot of people depend on.
Right.
Could be weakened or even dismantled. And they're also worried that everyday people would end up paying more for things while the wealthiest get tax breaks.
Right.
So this idea of economic inequality was a big driver behind these protests.
Okay, so now that we understand kind of the why behind the protests,
right,
let's talk about the how widespread this movement was, because it doesn't seem like it was just a couple of small gatherings. It seems like this was really big.
Yeah, this was significant. Multiple news outlets, CBS News, Newsweek, Al Jazeera, Forbes, Spectrum News, all reported over 1,200 protests.
Wow.
Planned in all 50 states across the U.S.
So this is in every single state?
Every single state.
Which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, it shows just how widespread these concerns were.
And when we think about the protests themselves, was it just like one type of person participating, or did we see a really diverse range of people coming together?
It was definitely a diverse group of people.
Oh, well.
So we saw people from civil rights organizations, members of labor unions, and Al Jazeera specifically noted a large union presence at the protests in Chicago.
Okay.
And then we also saw LGBTQ plus advocates with the Human Rights Campaign playing a big role in organizing, and then veterans and elections activists.
So really a wide range of folks there.
Yeah. So it's interesting to see all these different groups kind of uniting over these shared concerns.
Right. And I think that speaks to how important these issues are to so many different people.
Definitely.
So were there any cities or locations that kind of stand out as having particularly large protests?
Yeah, there were definitely some key locations. Washington, D.C. on the National Mall was a big one. The Washingtonian article mentions Sylvan Theater as the specific location, and organizers were anticipating around 20,000 people, but there was speculation that it could have been much higher, maybe even five times that many.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, that would have been a massive showing of concern right in the Capitol.
Yeah, for sure. And what about other parts of the country? Did we see large gatherings elsewhere?
Yeah, Boston Common in Massachusetts saw thousands of people. And CBS News mentioned signs like Hands Off Our Democracy and Hands Off Our Social Security, really highlighting those core issues. And Forbes noted that Senator Ed Markey spoke at this event. So you can see how these local protests were drawing attention from political leaders as well.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, too, because obviously Boston is a very historical city.
Yeah.
So to see, you know, thousands of people gathering there to protest, I think is significant.
Definitely.
And then what about New York City, another place where we often see, you know, significant events happening?
Absolutely. Midtown Manhattan saw thousands marching down Fifth Avenue.
Wow.
Newsweek and CBS News both reported the march starting at Bryant Park, and Newsweek even mentioned signs that read, "Billionaires are attacking Fed workers for protecting you," which I think really captures that sentiment that a lot of the protesters had.
Yeah, that they were being, you know, unfairly targeted, or that people were trying to, you know, take away what they had worked for.
Yeah.
And, you know, in other cities, were there other major protests happening in other cities?
Yeah, definitely. Daley Plaza in downtown Chicago and the state capitol in Springfield, Illinois, had large gatherings, according to CBS News. And Al Jazeera hundreds also gathered at the State House in Columbus, Ohio. And CBS News spoke with Roger Broom, who was a former Republican voter who had voted for Reagan, who said he was turned off by Trump, showing how these issues were crossing those typical political lines for some people.
Right. And it's always interesting when you see, you know, people who are maybe lifelong members of a particular party.
Right.
And then they start to question things based on current events.
Yeah.
And these protests weren't just in those kind of bigger liberal cities, were they?
No, not at all. We saw hundreds of people protesting in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, which is near Trump's golf course.
Mm-hmm.
CBS News and AP News covered this, and Archer Moran there voiced concerns about Social Security. And even in smaller cities like St. Joseph, Michigan, people protested the cuts made by DOGE, as AP News reported. And across the different news sources, we also saw protests mentioned in Atlanta, Miami, Charlotte, Los Angeles, where actress Jodie Sweetin spoke, according to Forbes.
Okay.
And even Seattle, where AP News noted signs that said, "Fight the oligarchy." So it really shows the breadth of where these concerns were coming from.
Yeah, it really does sound like a national outcry.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just in the U.S., was it? I remember reading about some protests that took place in other countries as well.
You're right. It wasn't limited to the U.S. Newsweek. Al Jazeera and Forbes all reported on solidarity protests taking place in several European cities, including Frankfurt, Berlin, London, Lisbon, and Paris.
Yeah, so it really highlights how some of these issues being protested in the U.S. were also resonating with people internationally.
Okay, so we've seen just how widespread these protests were and who was participating.
Yeah.
Now, I want to dig a little deeper into some of the key voices that emerged during these protests and what were some of the different perspectives that they brought to the hands-off movement.
Yeah, there were a lot of individuals who really articulated those core concerns. And I think we already mentioned Paula Sadebe, the HUD lawyer and union steward, who criticized the administration for not valuing federal workers, you know, the vital services they provide. And then Frank Hickey, a former police officer in Manhattan, as reported by Newsweek, called the protest an extension of the lawlessness of the Trump regime.
Mm.
So you can see kind of the strong personal opinions there.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, too, a lot of times when we see protests, we think about it, you know, as a collective action, but really is all these individuals coming together. And each of them has their own personal story and their own personal reason for being there.
Definitely.
And so it's important to kind of highlight those individual voices.
Yeah.
And then what about some of the leaders of, you know, major advocacy groups or organizations? Did we hear from any of them?
Yeah, we did. Kelly Robinson, the president of the Human Rights Campaign, spoke in D.C., and she really emphasized how the government's actions were personally affecting marginalized communities.
Okay.
She stated that these attacks are not just political, they are personal.
Right.
And this was a perspective that was highlighted by Al Jazeera, AP News, and Spectrum News. So you see a lot of these news outlets focusing on those human impacts.
Right. It's so easy to get lost in the policy, you know, the ins and outs of the policy.
Yeah.
that we forget about the real people yeah. who are behind it and who are being impacted.
Right.
And so I think it's so important to remember that human element.
Yeah.
And then what about any other notable figures that spoke at these events?
You know, we have Mayor Michelle Wu of Boston spoke out against what she saw as the use of threats and intimidation as government tactics. And the attacks on diversity and equality as reported by AP News.
Okay.
And then there were also several members of Congress who participated. Representatives Jamie Raskin, Maxwell Frost, and Ilhan Omar all spoke at the rally in D.C., according to Spectrum News and The Washingtonian. And then Liz Schuler, the president of the AFL-CIO, also spoke at the rally in D.C., according to Forbes. So you see how these, you know, these elected officials were also taking part in recognizing the significance of these protests.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and it's always notable when you see politicians, especially high profile politicians,
right.
taking part in protests.
Yeah. It shows they're listening.
Yeah, exactly. It shows that they're, you know, acknowledging the concerns of their constituents.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we think about organizations that participated, I think it's really interesting to see Third Act getting involved.
Yeah.
What was their kind of focus within the hands-off movement?
Yeah. Third Act is a really cool organization because they're bringing together older adults for activism.
Okay.
And they really emphasized their, you know, years of experience witnessing what can happen when power goes unchecked.
Okay.
And how important it is to protect programs like Social Security and to protect the environment for future generations. And some of their signs were really funny. I saw one that said, "I heart Social Security." And then another one that said, "My hair was not this gray until Musk showed up."
Oh, wow.
So, you know, they're bringing that kind of that humor, but also that. That long view of history.
Yeah, that historical perspective,
right.
which is so important.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really valuable addition to these protests.
Definitely.
So when we think about kind of the bigger picture here,
yeah.
what were the overall goals and motivations of the hands-off movement? Like, what were they hoping to achieve through these protests?
Well, the organizers, as reported by Al Jazeera and
yeah.
Spectrum News, really aimed to demonstrate that there was widespread opposition to the policies of the Trump administration and Elon Musk.
Okay.
Forbes even quotes the movement's website, describing these actions as a brazen power grab and an all-out assault on our government, our economy, and our basic rights.
Wow. So really strong language there.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like they felt like some really fundamental aspects of society were at risk.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that the concerns went far beyond just those federal job cuts. You know, Newsweek, Al Jazeera, and AP News all pointed out that protesters were worried about Social Security, Medicare, civil rights, immigration policies, healthcare access, and broader economic fairness.
Mm.
Newsweek also noted that some protesters raised concerns about U.S. involvement in international conflicts, specifically in Ukraine and Gaza.
Okay.
And the growing influence of billionaires in government decision-making, and Al Jazeera and AP News mentioned the participation of pro-Palestinian groups in the demonstrations in D.C. So you can see a really wide range of issues
yeah.
that were motivating people to take action.
Right. It sounds like people were really feeling like they needed to take a stand and
yeah.
say hands off.
Exactly.
What was happening. And so ultimately, what were they hoping would happen? Like, what was the end goal here?
Well, Newsweek reported that the organizers hoped that these large-scale protests would put pressure on lawmakers to reconsider these policies.
Right. So really trying to, you know, make their voices heard by those in power.
Exactly.
And use that power of the people to try and influence change.
Yeah.
So obviously a really significant event, but
yeah.
what was the response from the Trump administration to all of this?
Yeah, so the White House issued a statement, as reported by CBS News, Al Jazeera, and AP News, where President Trump stated his commitment to always protecting Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid for those who are eligible.
Okay.
But then the statement goes on to accuse Democrats of wanting to extend these benefits to illegal aliens, claiming that this would bankrupt the programs. And Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt, as noted by Forbes, said that these protests would not deter President Trump from his goals of making the government more efficient and accountable.
Okay, so essentially dismissing the concerns of the protesters and saying that they were going to continue on with their agenda.
Yeah, full steam ahead.
So really, I think it highlights how, you know, these protests were seen by the administration as something that they weren't going to be swayed by.
Definitely shows the division, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Different perspectives.
And speaking of different perspectives, we also saw a lot of activity online, particularly on Reddit, around these protests. So what was the buzz like on social media?
Yeah, the Reddit thread on Serbia protests that you shared with us really captured the energy and that on-the-ground organization.
Okay.
And it really highlighted just how nationwide these demonstrations were, with people discussing both local events in their communities and that main protest in D.C., and users were sharing information about where protests were taking place in different cities, Austin, Los Angeles, Seattle.
So kind of serving as a way for people to connect with others who wanted to participate.
Exactly. It was a hub. And the thread also really mirrored the main concerns that were being voiced at the physical protests. There were discussions about the potential impact of the DOGE job cuts, the administration's priorities.
Okay.
And we also saw people sharing practical advice, you know, tips on making protest signs, how to find local activist groups.
Right.
So overall, the Reddit thread provided a real sense of that widespread determination and desire of individuals to get involved.
Right. So it sounds like a very active and engaged space online, really complementing what was happening on the ground.
Yeah. It's interesting how modern activism uses both of those things.
Yeah.
That physical presence, but also that digital engagement.
Right. So it's not just about being in the streets anymore. It's also about being online and using social media to amplify the message.
Amplify and organize.
Exactly. Yeah. So as you can hear, the hands-off movement on April 5th, 2025 was a really significant moment that brought together a vast number of people across the United States and even internationally. And it was clearly driven by some really deep concerns.
Deep and widespread.
About a range of issues.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think what's particularly interesting is just the sheer scale of these protests. I mean, over 1,200 events in all 50 states.
It's hard to ignore something like that.
Yeah.
It really highlights how strongly people felt about the direction things were going.
Right. And I think what also stands out is this wasn't just one group of people. This was, you know, civil rights groups, labor unions, LGBTQ plus, advocates, veterans, all united by this shared feeling that something was wrong and something needed to change.
Yeah, this feeling that fundamental aspects of American society were under threat.
Exactly.
That needed to be defended.
And I think, you know, as we kind of wrap up here, it's important to remember that this deep dive has just been kind of a snapshot.
Yeah, the tip of the iceberg.
Right, exactly. And so we really encourage you to look further into the organizations that were involved.
Yeah.
Really consider those specific concerns that were raised by protesters across the country.
And the world.
And the world, exactly.
Yeah.
And what does it mean to see such widespread mobilization in response to current events?
What does it mean for us today?
Right. Yeah. Like, what can we learn from this? How can we apply this to, you know, what's happening in our own lives?
What role do we want to play?
Exactly. What role do we want to play in shaping the future?
Right.
And in ensuring that, you know, those things that we care about, those things that we value are protected.
Yeah. A lot to think about.
Yeah. It is, but it's definitely worth thinking about.
For sure.
So we hope that this deep dive has given you some food for thought.
Some fuel for the fire.
Exactly. And that you'll continue to engage with these issues.
Absolutely.
And make your voice heard.
Yeah, stay engaged.
So thank you so much for listening to the Utica Phoenix Deep Dive.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you next time.
See ya.